This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu, and it's Race Again. One of today's leading experts on brain health, Dr. John Arden, and author of the Brain Bible, tells it straight. There's no single remedy for maintaining sharp-mindedness into old age, but there are lots of things you can do over the course of time, and that will work wonders. It's not about adding one activity or breaking one habit. It's about making many small, simple changes in your everyday routine. So this is brilliant, the whole idea of how we can actually be still alert as we get older. But John, could you begin with some research around the brain?
Sure. We know now that the brain is constantly changing by experience throughout our life. So instead of thinking of your brain as the static entity, maybe formed by your genetic past, your brain changes as you challenge yourself to experience new endeavors. So for example, if you are trying to remember something, you are actually changing your brain. So memory is actual brain change. So think of any great habit or any bad habit. Mm. The acquisition of a habit is brain change through neuroplasticity. Well, I use the term rewire your brain because people can remember that more easily than that mouthful term, neuroplasticity. So yes, the brain can change, and why not make it change for the better?
Right. What are some common misconceptions about what the brain can't do?
Well, I think the most common one in recent years is this idea that you are genetically predisposed to experience this or that. Mm. And one of the wonderful new areas of research is called epigenetics. And epigenetics means above the genome. And basically what this means is that, okay, you might have a predisposition to perhaps be more prone to
Alzheimer's, perhaps?
Alzheimer's, well, or colorectal cancer,
okay.
or cardiovascular problems, a whole gamut of different kinds of things. And what you do can turn on those genes or turn off or suppress those genes. I don't at all mean to say that there's a cure for Alzheimer's. Mm. But what I am finding in the research is that you can slow down any process or perhaps even prevent something like cardiovascular disease by not doing, frankly, dumb things like having a bad diet and not exercising.
Right.
So with regard to the brain, if you are maybe predisposed to have some dementia process, maybe you can do a whole lot of things right now, and five of them are really great things to do, that would slow down the process and make your life far richer as you live.
So basically, you can teach old dogs new tricks.
Oh, yeah. Dogs are always learning new tricks if they push themselves to do it.
Okay. So I guess these five areas were around education, diet, social, sleep, and exercise, right? And we've sort of heard things around these activities that can help us. But what can we do around education?
Well, education is the process of course, learning new things. But if you learn things that are out of your comfort zone, you'll get far more brain infrastructure building than if you just stay with what you are interested in. So, for example, let's say you are already quite interested in playing a particular type of game and like to read a particular subject area, and you like to hang out with certain people, and that's all there is to it because you like to stay with your comfort zones. Well, you're not going to get as much robust brain building in terms of the education as you might if you push yourself to learn some things that you had nothing, no prior knowledge about. Like, for example, learning Swahili learning a language or an instrument that really requires a major challenge. So when you step way out of your comfort zone and incrementally work on it over a period of time, you're building this infrastructure, brain connectivity, to make that skill possible.
Okay, I guess that's why you find a lot of people playing Sudoku as well.
Yeah, but let's say, for example, you do play that or another game or whatever, and that's all you play. Sure, you're exercising those particular neural networks, and that's good. I'm not at all saying playing a particular game that you have fun playing is a bad thing. But when you start expanding your repertoire of different types of games, that's where you get the greatest buildup.
The neuroplasticity.
Exactly.
Right.
Or just say rewire your brain.
Rewire your brain. What about diet?
Diet is absolutely critical for the infrastructure and actual structure of your brain. So let's take a few things about diet that are really important and might cause your listeners a little bit of concern. Simple carbohydrates are really just destructive to the brain. And what I'm talking about with regard to simple carbohydrates is not only sugar, which is like poison for the brain, but also white flour, white rice, white bread, because all the nutrients are taken out of them. Now, what happens with these simple carbohydrates is they break down into sugar too quickly. And that's not so good because your energy benefit is very short-lived. And then you increase the amount of glucose in your body, your brain, and that causes all sorts of problems. And what we do know is there are, if you don't mind me just getting a little technical for just a minute, there are these things called advanced glycation end products. And what happens there is it's almost like chemical glue in your brain. So if you think in terms of, let's say, barbecuing saute or something. Mm-hmm. And let's say you don't turn it over enough and you forget, and now you go ahead and eat it and it's really tough. That's called cross-linking. And now think of your cell structures cross-linking, becoming tougher. So what you're talking about is advanced aging. So not only your skin, but think in terms of your brain cells becoming stiff, rigid, and not capable of rewiring.
Right. So what foods would be absolutely helpful? Would it be organic, omega-3, that sort of thing?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So let's go over some real basics. Every meal ought to have a fruit or vegetable, a complex carbohydrate, and a protein. And the protein hopefully doesn't have a whole lot of saturated fat. And the carbohydrate should be complex in nature, not simple. So the fat element that you mentioned, omega-3, is very important because, you know, next time somebody calls you a fathead, say thanks. You are, and I am. And much of our brain is composed of fat, and we hope it's good fat. And a good third of your brain is composed of essential fatty acids. So unfortunately, a lot of people have decreased the amount of, let's say, cold water fish and other sources of essential fatty acids. So here what we've talked about is good quality fat, good protein, complex carbohydrate, and a fruit or a vegetable. And stay away from fried foods. Now, fried foods, if I could just say a few words about that, results in these the formation of trans fatty acids that act like saturated fat in your brain, and now your brain cells are sluggish. They can't communicate with one another. They break down, and they destroy the essential fatty acids that we were talking about before. They replace them. So fried foods and simple carbohydrates, if your listeners want to think about some simple kind of ideas here, just get them out of your diet.
All right. And we'll touch on other areas like social, sleep, and exercise right after this. I'm here with Dr. John Arden talking about his book, The Brain Bible. It's Race Again, BFM 89.9. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. And this is Race Again. Dr. John Arden, author of The Brain Bible, here sharing with us some secrets on how we can maintain sharp-mindedness into old age. And I guess, you know, from all this conversation, we'll talk about how to deal with stress as well. You know, early on now, we touched on education and diet and how this affects the brain. What about social aspects? Is this just meeting new people all the time?
Well, and having good quality relationships. Let's face it, our species is the species that spends the most amount of time premature. In other words, when we're born, we spend a number of years, I mean, you know, 18, even greater than that, with our principal caregivers, and there's no other species that spends that amount of time postnatally. Right. And what is so important about that? Well, we have all these social brain networks that include mirror neurons and all these other brain parts, the anterior cingulate, and then the number of parts that thrive on social connectedness and break down when we don't have it. And so we know now that people that are lonely late in life get dementia symptoms earlier, they get depressed earlier, they get anxious earlier, and even down to the chromosomal level, the caps on the ends of the chromosomes, which are called telomeres, shrink with loneliness. That's advanced aging.
Okay.
So we thrive on social connectedness, and not all relationships are good. I mean, bad relationships are worse than being lonely. So having good quality, caring relationships that are reciprocal, we give and take, and we share our experience together, that's very good for a thriving brain.
Right. And with sleep, I'm just assuming we get enough sleep and that will help with the brain?
Well, you know, there's a quality of sleep factor that really ought to be taken good care of. And there's a sleep architecture. And what we know is that the three general stages of sleep are important to access each night. And one of the most important stages of sleep is deep sleep, slow-wave sleep. And if you don't get enough slow-wave sleep, your immune system doesn't get bolstered. You don't feel rested in the morning. And there are a number of things that confound slow-wave sleep. For example, caffeine late in the afternoon, alcohol, simple carbohydrates, lack of exercise, too hot of a room. So you want to keep your room as cool as possible. So a number of things can keep you in a shallow state of sleep, if not awake. So for example, here I'm traveling in Southeast Asia. I'm not exactly acclimated yet to warm weather, and waking up in the middle of the night because I'm a little hot is a problem. So I have to keep my body temperature really cool, and so everybody has to do that. So sleep architecture critically important, and there are a lot of things that can confound sleep. Now, why is sleep so important? We consolidate memories, we boost our immune system, we actually retool our brain chemistry so that we can bounce back the next morning. But if we don't, and you mentioned stress earlier, and now we have higher stress hormones like cortisol in the morning, for example. We all have cortisol in the morning increasing and drops off around 4 o'clock. However, you could have higher levels of cortisol, meaning high stress hormones that now make it much more difficult for you to concentrate and be more easily stressed,
right,
simply by not getting good quality sleep.
Okay, sounds like last night's sleep for me. Exercise. Are we just talking about being fit, you know, getting your cardiovascular system, you know, up, that sort of thing?
Well, you were right to say getting your cardiovascular system up is absolutely important. So think of this in the bigger picture. As a species, up until 11,000 years ago, we moved as hunter-gatherers 10 miles a day. We still have the same bodies as we did, essentially. You know, a little bit of difference. You know, maybe we're a little taller or whatever. But we still have the same physiology. And who moves 10 miles a day unless you're in a car? moving 10 miles a day requires some physical effort, and if you can get that cardiovascular boost, let's say 30 minutes a day, meaning take a long brisk walk, you don't have to go to a fancy gym, but take a brisk walk and come back winded once a day, that's probably the most powerful thing you can do for your brain. And let me just run through some of the many benefits. It is the best antidepressant that we have, without a doubt. Better than medication, better than psychotherapy. Best antidepressant, best anti-anxiety, and best stress reliever. And also, there is a substance that you can remember as Miracle-Gro, but technically it's called brain-derived neurotropic factor, that results in better neuroplasticity and the birth of new neurons in an area that lays down new memories called the hippocampus.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. Critically important for rebuilding your brain.
Right. And I guess if you put it all together and we do simple things around all these areas together, it does help eliminate stress.
Oh, absolutely. So the mnemonic, the five factors that we're talking about, I put them in the term seeds. So if you're planting seeds, so we went over five factors in the mnemonic of seeds, then you will then experience less stress, less anxiety, and in addition to that, not get dementia symptoms as early as other people. But I'm in the mental health system in California, and I'm always saying to people that either are depressed or anxious to plant seeds on a regular basis, because you need firm ground for us to build a good plan for your mental health. So those five factors are good stress relievers, good anti-anxiety methods, and antidepressant methods.
Right. You know, in your book, The Brain Bible, you talked about simple ways to get started, and this can be done fairly quickly. What do you do there?
Well, in the end of the book, I have a little weekly log, and each of those five factors has some lines below it to write in what you've done, so you could just copy that page and then keep that as a weekly log. So to start with, let's say there's seven lines under each one of the factors. Write in what you did that day, because if you're not monitoring what you're doing, then you can kind of procrastinate and forget, oh, God darn, I forgot to do that one.
Mm.
So, for example, did you get your social medicine today? Did you go spend a little bit of time with a friend or family members or whatever and have some kind of nourishing social interaction? Did you take your brisk 30-minute walk, or maybe you could do it in 10-minute chunks throughout the day? What did you do to learn something new? That's the education factor. And what was your diet like? Did you eat at least three balanced meals a day? And what was your sleep like the previous night?
Hmm. All right. And if someone wants to get hold of your book, they can get it online and on your site, and I guess bookstores out here as well?
Sure, yes. I was told yesterday by publisher that there are bookstores in Kuala Lumpur that have it, and of course Amazon.com, and you can go to my website, which is drjohnarden.com, but it's drjohnarden.com, with no gaps, but a .com.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. I've been speaking to Dr. John Arden, talking about his book, The Brain Bible is Racing Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.